Good morning. Good morning, Frontier Church.
Good morning.
Oh, let's try that again. Good morning, Frontier Church.
Good morning.
Oh, we gotta try this again. Can I get everybody just to smile at me for a minute? Let me see your pearly whites. Come on. Or your pearly partially whites. Amen. Amen. Now say with a loud voice, good morning.
Good morning.
That's what I'm talking about. Awesome. So glad you're here today at Frontier. I'm glad to be back home. I was gone for a couple weeks. Man, I'm so glad to be back. But I heard you guys had a blast. We heard that Minister John and Minister Kevin did an amazing job last weekend. Bravo to those guys, Minister Demita. And I'm excited that we're back into the Word and we're going to have an exciting time today. But I want you to hold, if you have your Bibles, would you hold them in the air for me? Or if you have them on your iPad, your phone, would you hold that in the air? And we're going to declare something over the Word we speak today. I want you to repeat after me these words. God, this is your word.
God, this is your word.
God, this is your will.
God, this is your will.
Today, this is my desire.
Today, this is my desire.
That I hear your word.
That I hear your word.
And obey what I hear.
And obey what I
hear. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Let's get into the word of God. We're going in today. I want to just remind you from what we have started that we want to see the kingdom of heaven on earth, and that I need just to encourage you in this one fact. Jesus is the conquering king.
Amen.
Jesus has not lost any strength nor ability. He has not lost his throne or his power. He is still in control. And I think it's very important that as we look into the Word of God, in order for us to understand how the kingdom of heaven should come to earth, we've got to understand what kind of king we're operating under. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so today, I want to give you a glimpse of what the ultimate goal Jesus is trying to do on this earth. Why is he moving in every nation of this world? When I was out of town, I met people from New Zealand and Australia and England. I met people from around the world that have been touched by the Lord Jesus. Why is he moving in so many continents in such a fantastic way? I want to show you why. Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? And we're going to start there in our text and walk the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at verse 24. And it begins to tell us what's going to happen at the end of time. What is the purpose for everything that we're witnessing in the church? Why is it happening? Let's take a look at this. It says this, then cometh the end. Everybody say the end. How many know trouble don't last always? Somebody ought to give a great shout off of that one. That's, I don't care what you've been through, you just got a hole to get through. Somebody say amen. It says, then the end cometh when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Look at this. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Here's what Jesus will do. Verse 25. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies. I don't know about you, but sometimes in life things come in front of me that I just need Jesus to put under his feet. Somebody say amen. And I'm here to tell you that the kind of king you've got has the kind of backup to make it happen. Now, I want you to think in your mind just for just a minute second what it is that you might be facing today. And I want you to think about it like this, that everything must come down. There is no trouble that you are facing in your life that can overwhelm you. Maybe you're facing a sickness today. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Listen, maybe it's an opportunity to believe Jesus. Hello, somebody. Sometimes you are faced with an obstacle for no other reason but that you may overcome the obstacle. Because if we could just rely on Jesus' strength, we can do just about anything in this world. It's just about anything. Look what he says. He says, he must reign, and he must put all enemies under his feet. Look at verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He's talking about the resurrection of the church. Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, the reason why things work when you pray in Jesus' name is because he's accepted by God. There's something about when you say, Lord, I pray for A, B, or C in Jesus' name. There's a reason there's power in that name. That's why you see people using it when they pray for their miracles, signs, and wonders, because that's the only name that's been accepted both in heaven and in earth. Now look at this. Look at verse 28. But when he has all, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That when he has done all of this, then Jesus himself is going to turn all of humanity, all of the things he's conquered, over to God, and then he's going to bow down to God himself. Now, how many have ever asked the question, who do you pray to when you pray? Has anybody ever thought about that? Do you pray to God? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Do you pray to Jesus? Who do you pray to? Who do you pray to? Let me answer this question for those of you just for clarity. God, there's three things we say here at Frontier Church. God wills it. Jesus builds it. And the Holy Spirit fills it. In other words, God wills things to happen. He says, I want this to happen. And then Jesus comes to the scene and he makes it happen. And once he makes it happen, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells within it. So God said, I want salvation to come. Jesus comes, he dies on the cross, and then he says, now I have to leave now because the third part of the process must come. I must leave that the Comforter may come, that he might be not on you, but where? In you. He fills, that's where we say you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When he comes inside of you, the deal now is sealed. Somebody say amen. I want you to turn to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We want to look into the text. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read what happens when the Holy Spirit enters into our lives. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to show you something here in this text. Ephesians chapter 1, verse, don't you love it when you can't find the verse you're looking for? There we go. Yeah. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians 1 and 12. Ephesians 1 and 12. Look at this. It says this. No, go back to verse 11. Go back to verse 11. I want to show this text. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Somebody say inheritance. That means you have something that belongs to you. This is very important that you get this. This is a very important thought as a believer. Do you know that you have stuff that belongs to you? My father worked for the Division of Unclaimed Funds for the state of Ohio. Now let me tell you what the Division of Unclaimed Funds was. It was a division of the state government that literally, when a person had assets or money or property and they never picked it up, there was a government agency that took it all and just waited for you to discover what you had. And all you had to do was call and say, hey, my name's Steve Yates. Do you have anything under my name? And they would say, look up and say, you know what? You had, your father had a trust fund that you never picked up. Here's $50,000. Has anybody ever gone to the unclaimed funds here? Oh, we got people in here know what I'm talking about. Has anybody ever gone to the spiritual unclaimed funds? There are assets, property. Come on, somebody. There is blessings that if you would just pick up your prayer life phone and call on God, you will get a deposit in your life account because it is your inheritance. You have access to so many miracles, signs, and wonders because we belong to him. Look at this. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Now, some of you may wonder why things happen in your life the way they have. And you may be concerned that, you know, listen, my life isn't, it's not flowing the way I have. But let me read this again. Can we all read it together? I want to read from the beginning here. It says, in whom, read. Yes. So is it okay for you to go through something if God knew you were going to make it through it? Come on, somebody. He's trying to build character. God's not looking at the conflict. He's looking at the character that he's trying to build in you. Look at this. Go to verse 11, verse 12. That we should be to the praise who what? Now look at verse 13. Here's what happens when you believe in Jesus. Verse 13. Let's read together. In whom? Yes. 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 You were. You were what? Say it again. You were. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many believe that if you're a believer, you can be possessed by a demon? Nobody? People's hands are like way down here right now. They're like, I'm not going to. How many believe that the enemy can touch you? Okay, now, close your eyes, because I'm scared to answer the question. Close your eyes. Whoever thought the enemy is messing up my life right now? Okay, your eyes are open. I can see you. You know that, right? I'm looking right at. Jeez. Whoever thought in your mind that I'm sick because the devil did it to me? Come on, raise your hand and be honest about it. Who's ever been through that? Okay, who hasn't? Now, see, somebody ain't telling me the truth, because you got to raise your hand one or the other. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor, look him right in the eyes, and say, raise your hand. One way or another. All right, I'm going to ask you again, because I'm going to come down off this pulpit if you don't raise your hand one way or another. Here we go again. How many in their life, when you went through something, you said, man, the devil done, you told somebody, man, the devil messing with me. Raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. All right, put your hand down. How many have ever said in your when you went through something that the devil done touched my stuff, or the devil's touching my body, or the devil's touched my, who's ever said that before? Okay, let me ask you a question. Can the devil touch you? How many believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that. How many don't believe that? How many have no clue how to answer that question? Did he touch Job? Did Job get touched by the devil? Huh? Did he touch his body? Sound like we got some conflict in here. All right, here's a question. Can the devil touch you as a believer? That's the ultimate question. How many believe the devil can touch you as a believer? How many believe he cannot touch you as a believer? How many have no idea the answer to that question? Thanks, you stood up. That's awesome. All right, can we listen? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Let me try it again. Here we go. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Yeah. Right? What was the other song we sang today? Awesome. My God is. He can move the. Even in the. God is. Okay. Do you believe that? Okay. So then, if the Bible says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, my God, are you kidding me that what I'm sealed with is a promise? You mean to tell me my life is so blessed, I'm a walking promise? A promise is a promise of something to come. That means I've got all this good stuff waiting in spiritual heaven, just waiting on me to realize what I've got. I got to help me. Let me just walk the word here. Let me just walk. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and that God, the Holy Ghost, dwells within you? Okay, so then can the devil come into your temple? Wait. I thought some of y'all said he could touch you. It's two different things?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Are you the temple of God or not? How many believe you're the temple of God and the Holy Ghost dwells in you? Okay, now let me bring out another truth. Jesus said, no man can steal your stuff unless he first bind the strong man. Then he can pillage the house. You ever heard that verse before? So who's the strong man in your house? You are. So who's your strong man? Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So listen, there's a reason. If we want to see heaven on earth, we first must know who we are. So what? I'm gonna walk it. I'm just gonna walk it. Listen, if I understand my authority, and I know that what happens to me isn't the devil has that kind of power over me, all I know is that if it does happen to me, it's because God built in my character. It will never take me out. No weapon formed against. Do you believe it? How many believe that? Raise your hand if you believe. No weapon formed against you shall. In fact, he keeps telling us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He said, listen, when the enemy comes in like a, he will what? Raise. How many promises do you need? You are sealed. Okay, now let's go back to the word. Can the enemy touch you? Still don't know. I want you to go in your word to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now this is very important, guys. This is very important that you get this, because if you believe you're a victim, you will live like a spiritual victim. Can I just tell you the truth? Have you ever met somebody that's always a victim? Do they irritate you? Let me tell you, as a pastor, I get irritated by spiritual victims. Oh God, I got a hangnail. Oh, it hurts. Would you just clip it? Oh, God, I went to drink a cup of coffee and my coffee maker wouldn't work. Get some orange juice, please. You are not a spiritual victim. You are a spiritual victor. Come on, somebody. Greater is he that is in than he that is in. Do you believe that? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're a walking promise. You know, here's one thing I get about myself. This is what I learned. I want you to make sure wherever you go today, I don't care where you go. Phoenix is, you know, I'm just, you guys are blessed. Y'all just recently got married, and let's give them a hand. They recently got married. First of all, let me tell you something. I can't leave too long because things happen when I go. Abby got pregnant. I don't know how that happened. Abby, where'd she go? Abby got a baby on the way. Y'all just need to calm down when I'm gone. You hear me? Where was I going? I just lost my train of thought. What? Seals, you saw a seal? Oh, I know something about, thank you, John. I knew something about myself, no. Here's what I get. Wherever I go, I'm a walking promise. Come on, somebody. That wherever I, listen to me, wherever I go, I've got something powerful on the inside of Steve Yates. That I am present to meet the need. When you capture this thought life, let this mind be in, that was also in, wherever he was the answer. When I walked, I got on a plane and my plane was delayed and so they had to put me in first class, and when they put me in first class, they had to sit me next to a guy, and I sat down next to the guy. I didn't know the guy, but when I sat down next to the guy, I said, I'm his blessing. I know that the God in me put me here, and I don't even know this dude, but I'm about to help this guy. Got to talking to a guy, multimillionaire, you know, owns almost all of Lake County, plays golf with Tiger Woods. And I'm preaching to him purpose. He's going, man, I don't know what my life, where I should be doing. I'm saying, let me tell you about the five priorities of your life. And I'm walking five. I'm like, God, two, husband, wife, three, kids, four, job, five, ministry. Get your life in order. I'm talking about one of the wealthiest men in this area, and I'm telling them about purpose. Why? Because greater is he that's in me. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I am his answer. So then, watch this. So then if I have all that growing, bubbling, gurgling all inside of me, when I go through a problem, I am my answers. I'm my own problem's answer. Did y'all? Yeah. Look at your neighbor and go, ugh. No, 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 y'all look at somebody else. Don't look at me. Go, ugh. Come on, you gotta get it. You are your problems. So you're not a victim. When a person becomes a victim, they believe the answer is on the outside, not on the inside. I need you to catch who you are. Can I just say that? If you can just capture that, you have more power in you. One of you could take out 1,000. Two of you, 10,000. Can I get two people to stand up with me? That's all. Hey, that's all. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, that's 50,000, 60,000. Come on. A million. Can I get somebody else to stand with me? Come on. Somebody else. Come on. Oh, a million. What in the world can we do if we just, I don't know, capture who we are? If we just capture who we are. I mean, isn't that awesome? Now, let's go back to the question in hand. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise according to Ephesians chapter 1, 13. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 8. 18. Thank you. Put a 1 in front of it. Can we read this, please? Truth. Read.
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not.
Stop. How many are born of God? In here, please. Okay. If you're born of God, you don't sin. How many are born of God and did sin? Oh, y'all some lying people. Some of y'all are like, I didn't do it. No. You just sin right then. So you know you ought to raise your hand. Let me explain. In the Greek, the word whosoever is born of God sinneth not is the word, it's the verb that means to continue on in a particular behavior. You know, but when you're born again, you sin. The Bible says any man that say he sinneth not is a liar. So we all fall, but the reality is the Christian doesn't stay down. They get back. Thank you. So he that is born of God doesn't stay in their mess. They may make a mess, but they always get cleaned up. Somebody say amen. You don't make it. When you make it a lifestyle, you're a sinner. A saint can sin, but they're not sinners. Listen, there's a song back in the day. How many know the song? We fall down. We fall, but we get. A saint is just a. That is such a lie. That is such a lie. A saint is not a sinner at any stretch of the. A saint may sin, but a saint is never a sinner. Watch what he says. Whoever is born of God, what? Sinneth not. That means that ongoing lifestyle. But he that is begotten of God needs somebody else to keep him. Need an external force to keep him. Needs pastor to pray for him. Needs a cry at the altar every Sunday. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not a victim. No, you got to say it like you. I want you to take that crooked finger and I want you to stick it in their face. And I'm going to say, hey, easy now. Y'all, poking people in the eyes. You are not a victim. Use your power to overcome what you're facing. I want to read the word on. Can I just read a little bit further? I got 4 minutes and I'm outie. We know. He didn't say I think. Listen, church, I need you to get to the point where you know. Do you hear me? When we get to the point where I know that I know. What in the world? I don't know what happened to my screen. It's all butchered. We know. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth. It's not your lifestyle. But he that is begotten of God, that's ownership. When you realize you can keep yourself. You know what I love is Peter. Peter was in the boat. We talked about this. Jesus walked on the water. And Peter said, hey, Jesus, that's cool what you're doing. Call me out. I want to do what you're doing. Well, you got the power. Come on. Did Peter walk out on Jesus' faith or his own? He stepped on that water on his own because he was keeping himself. He walked out on his belief. Watch this. And the... Who's the wicked one? What's the last part here as we get ready to leave? Wait a minute now. Y'all told me. Y'all were preaching to me today. And you told me now that the devil could touch you. That's what you told me. Look at your neighbor and say, did you say it? No. Yeah, right? Yeah, thank you. She's like, yeah, I did. Yeah. Listen to me. Know who you are. You may make a mistake, but he can't keep you down. Only you can keep you down. The power that resides in you is a power of promise, authority, and strength. And the evil one can't even touch you. Well, what happened? What about Job? Because you know in the story of Job, he put a whooping on that boy. Somebody say Old Testament. That's before you had the Holy Ghost living. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you next week.